Good morning, how are we doing? All right, let's open in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 21. While we're turning there, just some thoughts. I knew Gannon was a teenager. I had forgotten that Mills was a teenager. Congratulations to the Breeze, that's really cool. Okay, how do I make this short? Public speaking is definitely a fear, makes it up there with the fear of death in our world. I think most people tell you that the nerves never go away, they just get easier. So I guess I'll just speak for myself. There's always nerves when I'm up here, and I don't think I've ever been as nervous to preach a message than I am this morning. And I guess I say that because of just how excited I am today that it is Mother's Day. And just how big of a deal that really is. And so hopefully what comes through this morning, really thankful for the mothers and just for the ladies in general. You know, it's I don't know. Maybe it's one of those things where, you know, if I wasn't married and didn't have a daughter, maybe I wouldn't even try to preach a message. Like, she is our mother, if you notice the title. So, I guess that's my disclaimer. I'm just so excited to do it. I just want to give it the proper honor it's due, and just really hoping I'm the right guy for the job. But we're going to start today in Genesis chapter 21, verse 1. Then the Lord took note of Sarah, as he had said. The Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son, Abraham, in his old age at the appointed time which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I've borne him a son in his old age. The child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on the day Isaac was weaned. Now Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, mocking. Therefore she said to Abraham, drive out the maid and her son, for the son of this maid shall not be an heir with my son Isaac. The matter distressed Abraham greatly because of his son, but God said to Abraham, do not be distressed because of the lad and your maid. Whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her. For through Isaac, your descendant shall be named. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, thank you for your church. Thank you so much for your church. You know, Lord, I personally couldn't imagine trying to take up that armor of God that was spoken about earlier and trying to face the schemes of the evil one alone. We know that we have you, O Lord God, with us, and so indeed that is suffice, that you can come to the aid of those who are in need. But Lord, I am thankful for your church. Thank you so much for your bride. Thank you so much for the congregation of believers, and even specifically for your church in Billings. May we continue to fight the good fight of faith. May we continue to build up, to encourage, and to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Lord, thank you for your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we can go ahead and turn on over to Galatians chapter 4. Many of you kind of figure that's probably where I'm going, so let's go ahead and get that out of the way. I'm never going to forget parking lot Paul. Okay, so I got to start today's message with a story. Last summer, I'm mowing the lawn, and I'm right outside this window here. That's right by Tim. And we've got this weird, awkward patch on the other side of our sidewalk up against the building that used to be dirt, and then it just kind of got inhabited with weeds, and it needs knocked down once a week. So I got my back to the parking lot, and I got the weed whacker going, you know. And all of a sudden, I feel this tap on my shoulder. And so, like, you can imagine, like, you know, as far as our senses go, like, they're all being drowned out because this thing is just, the weed whacker's loud. And so I'm really focused on what I'm doing, and I mean, it just scared the lights out of me. Like, oh, you know, I turn around and there's this guy just standing there and I can see his pickup in the truck. He says, hi, my name's Paul. Hi, Paul. Okay, here's where I got to make a long story really, really short. I then went on for the next about 15 minutes to listen to Paul's story of his entire life. And how Paul's story ends is, I need gas for my pickup truck because I'm trying to get to Pennsylvania. And the plot of his story was, you know, I've been a Christian 40 years, and it's just been the hardest thing I've ever done, and I've lost more than I've won in my life. And I'm trying to get to Pennsylvania where I know my brother's a Christian, where I can get on the straight and narrow. I just need gas in my pickup truck. I said, Paul, I can do that. You know, the church doesn't have just $100 bills hanging around, but I got a debit card in the car, and we can run you down to the pump and put some gas in your car. So we got to go inside to get my keys. Will you come with me? He said, okay. I said, Paul, I couldn't help but to notice that you've kind of described to me your battle with Christianity as being one with a struggle. Like, I'm the preacher, and you're not going to get out of here without looking at a couple scriptures with me first. Okay? And right then, his whole demeanor changed. And he looked at me, and he said, which ones? I said, oh, you mean you want me to list them off? He said, yes, I do. I was like, well, I imagine we would start in Acts and probably finish somewhere in Galatians. And he goes, I know what you're going to do. He's just mad. I was like, you know, and hey, like, well, I'm on the spot. Okay, I'm the preacher, so I know what Acts says. I know what Galatians says. But you're always a little nervous. You're getting a shot to lay out the truth of the gospel. It's like, well, how should I do it? You know, it's like, I was like, so I'm not even sure I know where I'm going. See, the guy, being that he had had his nose in the Word of God for 40 years, knows what that sign on the outside of our building stands for. And it stands for remission of sins and the indwelling Holy Spirit. See, baptism. He said, I know what you're going to do. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. He's got his finger and it's in my shoulder. God saves through faith, not through works. I was like, I went another 10 minutes just listening. And you understand when it's like, hey, okay, we're not going to wrangle about words. I just listen for 10 minutes. Okay? And I said, well, you can obviously see how, why I would, you know, you clearly understand, you know, what I believe. You can see why I would disagree with you. He says, well, yes. And he says, you know what the real problem is? The real problem is true salvation. The true plan of salvation is never brought in until true Jerusalem and Israel is restored. And I went, oh, I get it. So it doesn't matter what signs in your front yard. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter if baptism means for remission of sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. All that matters is that Israel is restored. It's like, well, what do you do with that? Galatians chapter 4, verse 21. Paul says, tell me, you who want to be under the law, do you listen to the law? For it's written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman, one by the free woman. The son of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and the son of the free woman through the promise. You see, God promised Abraham he would have a son. And God's plan was that for it to be through Sarah. So the son born through the bondwoman, that was according to the flesh. As John chapter 1 would call, born according to the will of man. All right, so Ishmael's a product of man's will, and Sarah's son is a product of God's will. So in verse 24, the Spirit says, this is allegorically speaking. For these women are two covenants, one proceeding from Mount Sinai, bearing children who are to be slaves. She is Hagar. Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free. She is our mother. For it is written, rejoice, barren woman who does not bear, break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For more numerous are the children of the desolate than the one who has a husband. And you, brethren, okay, now that's you, church, like Isaac, are children of promise. Okay, now we understand that. Okay, Acts chapter 2, for the promise is for you, Okay? Galatians chapter 3, that the promise of Abraham would come to those who would believe. The true descendants, brethren, I know we understand this, so I'm just touching on it real quick. You, he says, you church, you're like Isaac. You're not like Ishmael, born according to the flesh, born according to the will, like I said in John 1, but born according to God. Chapter 3 of John, born from above, born again. He says, you're like Isaac because you're children of promise. But at that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the spirit. So it's now. Now, I don't know what that mocking looked like. Ishmael's doing over there. But he says, just like the son of the bondwoman persecuted the son of the free woman, so it is now. Okay? And those who have not been born according to the Spirit are going to persecute those who have been born according to the Spirit. Because they're not spiritual. So, verse 30. What does the Scripture say? Now, here's where Genesis 21 comes in. Okay, we have to understand that Genesis is included in the Spirit's reference to the law. Because he started this by saying, you who want to live by the law, do you not listen to the law? Okay, so now here's where he brings in the law. What does the Scripture say? Okay, cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free woman. Now, there's a lot in there. I've made reference to some of it. It'd be great to go to chapter 3 here, but I want to go a different direction this morning. Okay, here's the point I want to show. God isn't concerned about geographical locations on this earth. Because it's all going up in a ball of fire when he returns to bring judgment with his angels. Now, what I'm always reminded of is one of the things that Trump was able to accomplish when he was in office, if any of us remember this, is he moved the American embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Now, why would that matter? I mean, why? So he does that, okay, and people around America celebrate it as a religious victory. Why? Why is America pumping millions of dollars into the state of Jerusalem every year? Why? Okay, it's considered a victory because salvation comes. Like parking lot Paul says, when God restores the kingdom back to Israel. Brethren, who's Israel? The church. God is not concerned about a strip of dirt east of the Mediterranean Sea. What God is interested in is a people who are indwelt with his spirit, who will bear fruit in this life to glorify his name. Okay? So, all right. Now, we don't have to go to Hebrews 12 because we've been there the last 2 weeks on Wednesday. Sorry, Kevin. But we are told as Christians that we have come to Mount Zion, that big mountain, and to heavenly Jerusalem, and to the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. So what we see in Hebrews 12 is a connection between the church and heavenly Jerusalem. Yes? The church is enrolled up in heaven. And it's given the name Heavenly Jerusalem. If we look here in chapter 4 of Galatians, in verse 25, it says, allegorically speaking, Hagar and Mount Sinai in Arabia corresponds to present Jerusalem. That's that strip of dirt east of the Mediterranean Sea. Okay, but Jerusalem above, she would be the son of the free woman. Okay, she is our mother. So when we combine that with Hebrews 12, what do we get? The church is our mother. Happy Mother's Day. I got a question. And here's where the message takes its... I mean, we're slamming her into third gear, okay? Do you think it's dudes that make the church motherly? I'll never forget something Luke said years ago. For some reason, the statistic, I was like, whoa, I've never thought about that. 99% of the people after 9/11 that went into the wreckage were men. It's like, whoa, wow. That surprised me. But then again, I guess it made sense. Like, I'm thinking, you know, Jesus is in the garden, and all the troops show up to arrest Jesus, and what's Peter doing? He's got his sword out, and he was like, to the death! And he cuts the soldier's ear off. Now, insert tool opinion, I don't think he was aiming for the ear. I just think Peter was lousy with a sword. Okay, now there's a whole other message there, but the point is the guys with Jesus are like, oh, no, you're not. And they pull out their swords and they're ready to die. Wasn't that Thomas that said the same thing when Jesus was like, well, time, you know, our brother Lazarus has fallen asleep. You know, we're going to go raise him from the dead. And Thomas is like, well, guys, let's go with him because now we're going to die. I don't know why guys do it, but I know how guys can do it. Okay, we have this weird way of taking something and pushing it to the back of our brain and saying, I will die for you. And so 99% of those people who run in there are guys. And they're bringing people out and laying them at whose feet? You know what last statistic I saw? It's just statistics. Don't yell at me about this. 80% of the people working in the healthcare industry are women. It's just a stat. So whose feet are they laying them at? Do you think it's guys that make the church motherly? The church is our mother. Could you imagine if the church was just all dudes? We'd all be dead. I will die for you. Women, you set an important tone in the church. I want to share some stories. I'll start with my household, okay? There are some things that my children, mostly Ethan, but Reagan's starting to come around, that say to their mother. And I had to write it down so I get it right. And it sounds a lot like this. Mom, I'm hungry. Mom, I want to go outside. Mom, can I have some chocolate? Mom, what's Daddy doing? Mom, I need water. Mom, I gotta go potty. Mom, I'm hungry. Mom, I need help. Mom, watch. Watch, Mom. Mom, I want to go see my friends. Mom, I'm hungry. Do you know what they say to Daddy? Daddy, I want Mom. I mean, there's some truth to that, yes? You set such an important tone in the church. I mean, how is it, Justin, that you can see the buck camouflaged in his natural surroundings half a mile away, but you can't see the ketchup in front of you in front of the fridge? I mean, Sam goes out of town, and I'm like, who's going to dress me? You guys think it's an accident this belt always matches the shoes? And she goes out of town, and I'm like, how do I feed myself? And I was like, I know I used to be able to do this. I know I used to wash my own clothes. I was like, okay, well, what's my point? You know, I've kind of caught myself where if I can't find my keys, I go, Sam, where's the keys? Like, Nolan, just go look for them. You know? The ketchup thing for me was last night. Where's the ketchup? Like, it's in the fridge where you're looking. Okay, and just some examples that I think of, like this subtle tone that sometimes goes unnoticed, that has to be there in the church. That steady approach, reliability. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over all the creeping things that creep on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, He created them. Now, brethren, I know we understand this, but it's always good to remind ourselves of it. Let us make mankind in our image. And you know what came out of that? Man and woman. Men are created in the image of God. Women are created in the image of God. So here's the next question. Is that difference only physical? Are our differing physical attributes the only way? God's not physical. So if He made us in His image, then there are nature and characteristics of women that are of God. And so forth with men. Now, God has decided to, in His wisdom, to communicate Himself to us as a heavenly Father. And again, in Toole's opinion, that's because we need spankings once in a while. And we need the Heavenly Father for that. All right? But the point is, man and woman both made in the image of God. Okay? And those differences are not just physical. They are spiritual. And they are a part of what make up our personalities and our characteristics. You know, there's an ongoing debate in my house, and it sounds a lot like this. You're not nearly as tough on your daughter as you are on your boy. You know, that whole, she's got you wrapped around her finger, you know. And I'm like, I like to think that even though they're a year apart, they're in two completely different stages in life. I mean, one can talk and the other one barely talks, you know, and she's coming along, you know. But it's like, I'm going to handle her differently than I handle him. I don't think that's unfair or wrong, but that's the ongoing debate. Oh, you are not nearly as tough on her as you are on that boy. And so we were talking about this one night, and Ethan had, you know, not listened, so he was getting some direction by Dad. And I said, watch this, hon. Little Reagan's sitting right next to me. And I looked her in the eyes, and I went, "Whoa!" She's different than her brother. You can't treat them the same. Okay? They're different. And I think it's okay to recognize that difference. I remember coming home, just married, right here, right outside there, okay, in the church. You guys were surrounding us. And on the car ride home, and you guys can call me silly for this and give me your feedback later, but it was just how I was feeling in the moment. I said, wife, just so you know, I don't know how I feel about being that couple that has to say I love you every time you get off the phone. I love you, I love you, okay, I love you, I love you, I love you. I was like, I don't know if I want to do that, you know. I said, can I give you an example? I said, you could, for the next 10 years of our marriage, never audibly say the words, I love you. Okay, but if I was to wake up and there was a cup of coffee made for me, I would know that you love me. I'm not saying like, please understand me, I'm not saying like you have to go do everything. I'm just saying like you could literally not say that to me ever again and I would know you love me by the way we interact with one another. That's how I receive love. Okay? And she was just like blown away. Because she was upset. She just couldn't understand how someone could go 10 years without hearing it and actually believe it. And she said, okay, just so we're clear, I need to hear it. I was like, gotcha. My point is, okay, now, you can put me over, you can roast me over the fire afterwards if you want to, but that's just me. I don't need to hear it. I'm fine. I will march and I will die for all of you. And you don't have to tell me audibly that you love me. Okay? But if you're here and you support and you build up and you do the little things, I would know. And that would be enough for me. There is a difference. And I think that it's okay. Some of these differences. And some, as I think back to my mother and think back to my interactions with the moms and the women who have made tremendous impacts, not only in this congregation, but in the scriptures. I think of compassionate, nurturing, strong, comforting. And that one to me is huge. Comforting. The things that make the church motherly. Comforting. You know, I mean, I was able You know, I was able to make it to about my junior or senior year in high school without ever getting into any real kind of trouble, okay? And then I got myself in trouble, all right? And, you know, when I look back on that, my dad didn't know what to do, okay? Now, you know, that wasn't his strength, all right, was, you know, that side of being a dad, okay? I just think he was just so blown away I'd gotten in trouble that, you know, he wasn't quite sure what to do, but Mom did. And I needed punished. I needed to learn my lesson, but that is not what Mom did first. She was comforting. She let me know, hey, listen, we have to be willing to admit we're wrong. We have to be willing to make the changes in our life so that those mistakes don't happen again. But as long as you're being met in that spirit, you do need comforted from time to time. You need that compassion and that mercy and that gentleness. And my mom made sure I knew that I would not have to go through this by myself. And my dad didn't know what to do. So he was just like, well, can't talk to dad, you know. What am I supposed to do? Like, I'm in trouble and I've never been really in trouble. And I did something wrong. And Mom was the one that helped me through that. And I'll never forget that feeling. Like, I knew that I wouldn't have to go through this alone. I knew I was wrong and that I needed punished and I was willing to accept the ramifications for my actions, but it meant everything to me to know that I wasn't going to do it by myself. And that was my mother. Loving, caring, considerate, the glue that literally holds everything together. I mean, again, I will never forget this story that Luke told. He was, I don't know if it was a Mother's Day message or if he was just using an illustration, but he was just trying to shed light to all the things that mothers have to do and they go through, and that somehow the only time you get a break is when you go to the bathroom. And then one of you gals came up afterwards and were like, by the way, Luke, the kids come in the bathroom. Okay. Well, that's how it is in my house too. Okay. So you want to talk about the glue that's holding everything together. You do not ever get a break. Ever. It's like, you don't even, and I mean, my little one's been opening doors for a long, long time. So if you shut that door, you better lock it. And, Mom, and Dad's like, hey, come hang out. Like, I want Mom. Just thinking about the glue that really holds everything together. I mean, you know what? You start skipping some of those Thanksgiving dinners. Who is it that's calling you and getting the gang back together? Is it Grandpa? Grandpa's sleeping on the recliner. Grandma's the one that's saying, where have you been? The family's getting together. It's Mom that's saying, hey, you figure out how to adjust your plans because we're getting together at so-and-so's house for Thanksgiving. It's Mom that's doing that. And just thinking of things that make the church motherly. I've personally been blessed to have a great mother, an amazing wife, and a daughter. You know, like I told you guys earlier, you know, these guys went out of town recently, last weekend, and I just felt out of sorts. And not because I had to make my, you know, had to dress myself or make my own food, but like, there was just something missing. And I know you know what I'm talking about. And can that be felt in the church? Like when Mom's missing? I think so. I mean, I love the scriptures. It's like, God's like, okay, you know, he's not a guy, he's not a girl, but he's communicating himself to us. And so he says, I am your heavenly father. Okay. But he called the church our mother. And that's just as important. All right, so I don't know if this is coming through clear, but Mom's gone, and Dad's just out of sorts. And I don't know how to explain it any better than it wasn't because I had to make my own PB&J. It was because, like that glue, like that emotional support, that compassion, and that steadiness, and that it just wasn't there. And then to understand how important that is in the church. You know, I mean, I'm sure visitors could come. I'm not saying this happens. I'm just painting a picture in our mind here of how important it is for the church to be our mother, to be motherly. You got visitors coming in, maybe new Christians or whatever it may be, and they walk into a place that's giving a dad-only reception. You feel that. You can feel the lack of a motherly presence when you walk into it. I'm not saying that happens here. Just trying to make the connection between how important you gals really are in making the church our mother. You know, I know that when Reagan was born, obviously you have kids and there's lots of a flood of emotions and excitements. But I'll be serious with you guys for a moment. One of the things that excited me the most when Reagan was born was the fact that I'm now going to be given the opportunity to understand my wife even better. And how about a step further? How about half of the people that indwell God's kingdom? The women. And so I'm looking at this newborn baby, and it's like, Lord, if you had given me another boy, that would have been great, and that's your plan. But he gave me a girl. And I remember thinking how excited and thankful and joyful I was that through her, not only would I be able to understand my wife better, but I can understand all of you better. Because you know what? God did make us in his image, and he made us different. And an important component of that is being able to bridge that gap and communicate efficiently and effectively with one another. And it's like, I don't think you figure that out just because you get married. Okay, like that takes time. You know, it was really cute. You know, we were here for the memorial yesterday. And that was a really great time. That was really good. And so afterwards, one of the young girls, I'm just talking and I turn around. And one of the young girls in the assembly has Ethan in a headlock. Mwah! And gives him a big old kiss on the cheek. What did his face look like? And that's kind of how we start. And it kind of stays that way for a long time. You see what I'm saying? I say, okay, so you get married. And you are given opportunities every day to understand your wife. And the point I'm just making even further is I'm willing to bet that through Reagan, that's going to help me understand her even better. How about understanding all of you and how you think and what's important to you and how I can stimulate one another to love and the good deeds? I just told you earlier, I receive love in a completely different way than my wife receives it. And we have to know that about each other so we can communicate it back and forth. How about all of you? You know, it's a really interesting thing. You know, Jesus says you're supposed to love, but then you've never thought about how people receive that love. So then you just, you know, you're just, you know, writing thank you cards all the time and saying I love you. What if you know, showing up and helping them out with something is how they receive love? These are just things to think about. I just know myself at times I've had to really rely on my wife. You know, not every woman in the assembly has a husband. And they have questions. And there's things that come up, and sometimes they ask me. And I'm like, honey, help me understand. Like, what's she thinking? What's important? Is this a big deal? What's the best way to help in this situation? Okay? But it's super, super critical and important. I think as we wind down, I have us turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I've had a thought all week, and it's a thought that I think we all have, but for whatever reason, for myself, I've had this thought just nagging me all week. And it's, brethren, we need to make it to heaven. This world cannot be our home. And I don't mean like if you're benefiting from the world, because Jesus talks about having one foot in the church and the world. He says you can't have fellowship with light and darkness, okay? But I mean like I don't want to stay here any longer than the Lord has appointed for me. Like this place is wicked. And so I've just had this thought all week. Like, Nolan, you get yourself to heaven. And Nolan, you get your family to heaven. And brethren, we make sure every person in this room makes it to heaven. Because that can't be our home. I would never want that. And that thought's been with me all week. You know, it's like sometimes as the church, you know, with Christian families and raising them in Christian environments and put ourselves in fruitful environments. And sometimes, you know, Satan's wickedness can kind of feel a little detached from what we're doing. And I think he parked that bus up on our front lawn this week and made himself loud and clear. I'm here to mess up everything that the Lord desires. Now, I felt that this week. This world, it cannot be our home. And ladies, we're not going to do it without you. Setting that tone. Bringing whatever it is that makes you an individual and created in the image of God, and bringing it to help the Lord's people make it to heaven. Because we need it. Because I know what that feeling feels like when it's gone. And I never want to feel that in the Lord's church, because she is our mother. Let's make it. 2 Timothy chapter 1. This was brought out earlier. But if we look at verse 5, Paul writes to Timothy and says, I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am sure that it is in you as well. This came out in class this morning. I don't need to hit it any more than we already have, other than notice the key players in Timothy's faith and his salvation. You know, it really is an interesting thing, because Ephesians says, husbands, love your wives, and wives, respect your husbands. So does that mean that men don't have to respect and women don't have to love? Okay? So the Lord's working on some key points. But that doesn't rule out the other things we have to do. Now, earlier on in the message, I said, do you think it's a bunch of group of guys that makes the church so motherly? That doesn't mean, men, we can't be compassionate. That doesn't mean that we can't be merciful and loving. But the point is, God has made us in His image, and He has made us different. And those differences are not long hair and short hair. The church is our mother. And women, you are what make it motherly. And you see that here, the key role in Timothy's faith, mom and grandma. Have some other scriptures, but we're getting over time here. Just some closing comments. The church, yeah, I guess is the point I'm trying to make earlier. The church is made up of boys and girls, yet God has called her our mother. And ladies, you're the ones that make it motherly. I thank you. And I encourage you. The things that make you amazing mothers and grandmothers and sisters and even daughters, those things that God has given to you as He has created you in His image, and He gave you a piece of Himself to be tremendously valued, but to be displayed. Yes? Bring it. The things that make you amazing in your households and amazing around the Thanksgiving dinner tables, bring it to the Lord's people, because we need it. The church is our mother, and you are what make it motherly. Christ is the husband, and the church is His bride. Let's be the bride that makes Jesus known in the gates. That's from Proverbs 31, when He sits among the elders of the land. Amen? Amen. Happy Mother's Day, and thank you to all you ladies for everything that you do. Let's stand. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, thank you so much for your church. Lord, as you created man, you had a plan in your mind where at the right time, Jesus would be born of woman and born under the law. And that through Him, we might be able to have the gospel message of light and to be recipients of a salvation for an eternity in heaven. And I'm just mindful this morning as we're celebrating the moms that we remember you've gone through great lengths to communicate yourself to us. You've called yourself a father. You've called the church the bride and Jesus the husband. And you're trying to help us understand critical points about the spiritual nature of the church and its relationship to you, O Lord God. And today, just super thankful for the women and for all the moms. The church is our mother. She is free and she is from above. Thank you so much, Lord, for all those who have placed into your body and for the opportunity to celebrate those who have brought great things that we rely on tremendously. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.